Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
And Lord, we do. We really, really need you. We need you for every moment of our lives. We need you for every happening. We need you for every undertaking. For Lord, you are our creator and you are our sustainer. And so if you were to quit being God, even for an instant, everything would literally fall apart. But you don't. You are steadfast. You are sure. You are steady. And so, Lord, tonight, we pray that as we turn to your word, that you would remind us that you are with us. And that you would remind us that through Jesus Christ, we belong to you. And that you would remind us that you have plans for our lives, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us hope and future in Jesus Christ. For it's in his precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, today is Ash Wednesday, and you may be thinking, what in the world is Ash Wednesday? Well, it is a Wednesday that's dedicated to ashes. Well, the point of Ash Wednesday is to serve as a reminder. It is a reminder as we enter into a season of preparation for Easter. It's a reminder of a few things. First, it is a reminder that you and I are dust, and to dust we shall return. When God made Adam in the Garden of Eden, he made him from dust. He fashioned him from the dust of the earth, and then he breathed into him the ruah, the breath of life. So we are dust, and one day to dust we shall return. And Ash Wednesday is a reminder of that. Sometimes we need to be reminded of our own mortality, don't we? We need to be reminded that we are not quite as 10 feet tall and bulletproof as we'd like to think we are. So first, Ash Wednesday is a reminder of our mortality. Secondly, Ash Wednesday is a reminder of our sin. The only way that any of us come to God is through Jesus Christ. And the only reason that the only way that only any of us come to God through Jesus Christ is that God has made a singular way whereby sinful people like you and me could come to him. And it is through Jesus Christ alone. By the forgiveness of our sin, purchased by his blood shed on an old rugged cross and secured and sealed by his resurrection from the grave, that is the only way we come to God, because we are sinful human beings. And particularly if you go read the Old Testament, you will see an act of contrition and repentance is often the sprinkling of dust and ashes over the head. It is an act of saying, God, I recognize my sinfulness. I recognize my wretchedness, and sometimes we need to be reminded the depths from which God brought us. We need to be reminded that the cost of our salvation was great. Jesus' death on a cross, and it was required because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so Ash Wednesday reminds us that we are sinners. And but for the grace of God, we would perish evermore. Thirdly, Ash Wednesday reminds us that we need to focus ourselves on God. Now, you know, we're good Protestants. We are Baptist Protestants. We are Southern Baptist Protestants. And so we do not believe that by imposing ashes on our foreheads that we are in any way gaining any merit. We do not believe that we gain any merit by doing anything. That the only way that we have any merit before God is that God gives us his merit through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we're not earning anything. Jesus earned heaven for us. But as we prepare our hearts for Easter, it's always a good season to lay aside distractions. So the theme of the message tonight is actually the central verse that I want to call to our attention that I think for us, is what God is calling our attention to as a church. And it comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to quote it to you and read it to you from the New International Version because, quite frankly, that's how I memorized it first, and that's the way it sounds right to me. Is that okay? So right there at the top of your notes, or if you are a YouVersion user and you've got your app pulled up like I've got mine pulled up right now, you can read, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders." So tonight, the invitation is that as Easter approaches, we would throw off everything that hinders us in our relationship with God, and the sin that so easily entangles. So not only would we throw off anything that would hinder, but any sin. Search us, O Lord. Show us the offensive way in us. Let us not be tangled up by that sin that separates us from you. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Ash Wednesday is an invitation that for the next 46 days, six of those days are Sundays, so you can have a day off if you choose to fast on those Sundays, those are feast days, but that's between you and the Lord. For the next 46 days, we would intentionally lay aside the things that distract us from God. We would intentionally ask the Lord to show us where the sin is in our lives that needs to be removed and ask him by the power of his Holy Spirit to remove it, that it would no longer be a pattern in our lives and entangle us, and that we would intentionally fix our eyes on Jesus. For me personally, what that's going to mean is I'm laying aside my personal social media between now and Easter. It's done. And here's why. If you've ever heard of a pastor named John Piper, he pastored Bethlehem Bible Church for years and years, he tweeted something one day that burned me to the core. He said, I'm convinced that one of the features of social media on the day of judgment is that God will be able to use our interaction with social media to show us that we really didn't have as good of an excuse as we thought to be so prayerless and to negate our Bible reading and neglect our Bible reading. And I read that and I said, ouch. Because how many of you, like me, can sometimes mindlessly scroll your way through other people's publications and just waste all sorts of time? So for me, I'm going to lay it aside. For some of you, and maybe I've talked to somebody today who's going to lay aside sweets. Why? Because sweets, nothing wrong with sweets unless you have a medical condition telling you don't eat that many sweets. But there's nothing wrong with sweets until they become a comfort for you. And you go to sweets instead of going to God for that comfort that you need and desire. Or whatever it may be, laying aside something that might distract you from God. So I want to encourage us, and I want to read four passages of Scripture, and I want to give you 4 points tonight. The first point is that through Ash Wednesday, God calls us to return to Him. The prophet Joel. I want to read to you chapter 2 of the prophet Joel, verses 1 and 2, and verses 12 and 13. Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness there is spread upon the mountains a great and powerful people. Their like has never been before, nor will again after them through the years of all generations. And then verse 12, yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. So the call of Ash Wednesday is a call to return to God. And he says through the prophet, rend your hearts and not your garments. In other words, it's not about the outward show. It's about what's going on the inside of you. Return to the Lord. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. See if there's any offensive way in me. Show it to me, Lord, and help me by your Spirit to repent. Not only to be sorrowful for it, but to turn away from it and to turn back to you. So Ash Wednesday is a reminder that God calls us to return to the Lord. Secondly, through Ash Wednesday, God calls us to trust in Him. To trust in Him. Psalm 103, verses 8 through 14. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Through Ash Wednesday, God calls us to trust in him. When you return to the Lord, when you come to him in repentance and faith, what you find in your heavenly Father is the most perfect of all fathers. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "How many of you, if your son asked for a fish, would give him a serpent? Or if he asked for a loaf of bread, would give him a rock?" Of course, the answer to that question is no. I mean, we're good people. We're good fathers. We're good mothers. Even if we're not parents, if a child came to us and wanted a fish, we certainly wouldn't give him a snake. Or wanted a loaf of bread, we wouldn't give him a rock. And then Jesus makes this amazing statement. If you then who are evil, and indeed we are, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Y'all know that song, "Good, Good Father." You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. The very first time I heard that song, I was at a camp. And in front of me was a dad that I'd gotten to know and his little girl that he had adopted. And what was amazing is I watched this relationship between this dad and his little girl. This relationship that had been bound not by biology, but by something even stronger, bound by love. And what was interesting was as we sang, "You're a good, good father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are," I watched that little girl bury her head into the side of her daddy's belly, just right here. And he put his arm around her. And what was amazing is what was playing out in front of me as we together sang this song was the image of God being transmitted through a daddy who loved his little girl so that she would always know what a good father is. And God says he's an even better father than that dad. He's an even better father than your dad. Praise God, he's an even better father than me as a dad. He is a good, good father. And what does he do for us when we come to him through Jesus Christ our Lord? When we come to him in repentance and faith through Jesus Christ our Lord, do you know what he does? The Bible says he separates our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. How far is the east from the west? Well, according to Casting Crowns, it's one scarred hand to another. He separates our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. And so we can trust him. We can trust him. So as we return to him, we trust in him. But then thirdly, Ash Wednesday is a reminder that through Ash Wednesday, God calls us to be reconciled to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20b, which is the second half of verse 20, through chapter 6, verse 2. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." God calls us to be reconciled to him. This is a reminder of the gospel, that our sin separates us from God. And if we die in our sin, we remain separated from his goodness for all eternity in a very real place called hell. But that is not God's desire for us. How do you know it's not God's desire for us? Because God made him who knew no sin, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to become sin for us. In other words, he superimposed all of your sin and my sin on his perfect sinless Son. And then in his perfect sinless Son, he punished our sin. The wages of sin is death, and so Jesus was nailed to an old rugged cross. And there upon Calvary's cross, he paid in full the debt our sin deserved. He took our entire punishment. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. How do you know that God loves you and desires to be reconciled to you? He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him you and I, who are evil, might become the righteousness of God. How deep is the Father's love for us? How great is his grace that would save a wretch like you and me? God's desire is that we would be reconciled to him. God's desire is that all men would come to knowledge of the truth and be saved. And he has entrusted to us the ministry of reconciliation so that we would call out to the world, wherever they are, whoever they are, whatever they've done, wherever they're from, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. You don't have to remain separated from him. You don't have to remain apart from him. And if you're feeling far from God, the issue is never that God's far from you. The issue is always, when we're feeling far from God, that we have turned our attention away. For he has promised us that he would never leave us and he would never forsake us. And so we return to him because we can trust him. For he calls us to be reconciled to him. And then fourthly tonight, through Ash Wednesday, God calls us to be devoted to him. And I want to end tonight with the words of our Savior from the most famous sermon ever preached. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. I want to read to you Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, and then after that, verses 16 through 21. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ as he sat down on the side of a mountain and began to teach them. And he said this, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." And now down to verse 16. "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Through Ash Wednesday, God calls us to be devoted to him. And remember that your devotion to him is all about what you treasure, where you place your treasure. If your treasure's here on earth, well, remember that this is the place where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. So if you're looking for glory, perhaps from giving generously to the needy and then posting on Facebook how you have given generously to the needy, your likes are your reward. Enjoy them. That's all you get. Or if you like to pray and you like to wear flowing robes and stand on the corners and have everybody say, "Oh, he's so eloquent," your compliments are your reward. Enjoy them. That's all you get. Or when you fast, and notice he doesn't say if you fast, he says when you fast. When you lay aside something to intentionally focus yourself on God. So whether you're laying aside food or drink, or you're laying aside some sort of activity that has become mindlessly habitual to you, as you lay it aside, don't sound a trumpet before you and say, look how pious I am, for I have not eaten in 40 days. He says the people who are like, wow, that's really impressive. That's your reward. Enjoy it, because that's all you get. Now, Jesus said, no, when you do those things, because you should do those things, when you give to the needy, you should give to the needy. Don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. God sees, that's enough. Or when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who think that by amassing eloquent words that God hears them any more than perhaps a tax collector, a publican who wouldn't even look up to heaven but beat his breast and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. He said, God knows what you need. So it's not about repetition. It's not about saying all these, and it's certainly not about showing off. So when you pray, allow the meat of your prayer to be in secret. God hears you. That's enough. Or when you fast, don't sound a trumpet before you and let everybody know that you're fasting. Now, I shared what I'm going to be fasting simply as an example. There are other areas of my spiritual life that I'm not going to share with you because that's between me and God. And if you choose to fast during this season, that's between you and God. And if you choose not to fast during this season, that's between you and God. But it is about your relationship with God. And so Jesus says, where is your treasure? Do you value the way they look at you here on earth? Or do you value how God looks at you? Do you value the accolades that you receive here, or do you value that your heavenly Father, your good, good Father, sees and will take care of any reward you need? So really, our devotion to God is about where our treasure is. And so tonight is Ash Wednesday. It's a call to fix our eyes on Jesus, remembering our mortality, remembering our sinfulness, and remembering that we are so easily distracted. And did you know that good things can be terrible distractions in the kingdom of God? Good things can drive you away from a close and growing relationship with God. Not because He's far away, but because you have turned away, and because I have turned away. So, Ash Wednesday is a night of reminders. They're reminders that are good anytime during the year. Reminders to be intentional about our relationship with God. So here in just a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity, if you so desire, to have ashes imposed on your forehead. John Beach is going to come forward and help me. And I'll say this. These are ashes that were created. This is hand sanitizer I'm going to use because it's flu season. These are ashes that were created from the burning of palm branches from a Palm Sunday. Nothing magical about the ashes. This is a cup I bought in Austria. I thought it was pretty. It's pewter. Nothing magical about the cup. I am a sinner saved by the grace of Almighty God, and so is John Beach. So nothing magical about the guys up here with ashes on their fingers. And if you should choose to come and have ashes imposed in the shape of a cross on your forehead, that doesn't make you more holy. That doesn't gain you any merit for heaven. But it is an object lesson. It's a reminder that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. If you choose not to have ashes imposed on your forehead, it doesn't make you any less holy. For you can be reminded verbally that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Now, if you're sitting in the pews kicking against the goads and saying, not me, I'm not dust, and to dust I shall not return, then you need to get past adolescence, because that's what they think, right? That's what you thought when you got your driver's license, right? That's why we do a driver's blessing, because 16-year-olds sometimes need a reminder. Amen? Some of you have them. I know. I once was one. And by God's grace, I got a couple on the way. So here's the point. It's a reminder. It's a reminder that as Easter approaches, we are mortal. But God gives us eternal life in Jesus Christ. It's a reminder that as Easter approaches, we are sinners. But God gives us His forgiveness by His grace alone through Jesus Christ. And it's a reminder that sometimes we get distracted. But God, through His Holy Spirit, calls us back to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross and scorned the shame and sat down at the right hand of Almighty God. So we're going to end our service a little bit differently tonight. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer together. And then here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you would like to have ashes imposed on your forehead, I'm going to invite you to come and form two lines right here in the center aisle. I'll be on one side, John will be on the other, and we'll impose ashes. As we do, we will say, "From dust you are, and to dust you shall return." I would give you this tip, close your eyes, not because that's holier, but because you don't want ashes falling into your eyes, okay? And if you choose not to, that's okay, but we would just ask you to exit quietly, so that those who want to come and have ashes imposed and perhaps even take a moment to pray would have the opportunity to do that and focus their heart on the Lord. So that's how we're going to end our service tonight. I'm so glad you came. I'm so glad our kids sang. Didn't they do a good job? I'm so glad to be family together in Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that we have this community of faith. But most of all, I'm glad that our God loved us, a bunch of sinners, and sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to save us and to reconcile us to Himself that we might have eternal life in Him. Let's stand together. And as we stand together, let's join our hearts together in prayer. Father, we love You, and tonight we are reminded that we are mortal, that we were made from dust, and to dust we shall return. Tonight, Lord, we are reminded that we are sinful, that when given the opportunity, we followed the pattern of our first grandparents, Adam and Eve, and we turned away from You, seeking to make our own standard of good and evil, right and wrong, seeking to be our own God. And tonight, we confess together that we are easily distracted. And Lord, I confess in my life that good things would call me away from my focus on You. And so, Lord, tonight, as we begin a season of reflection, a season of fasting, a season of prayer, we do so not to gain Your grace. We do so in response to Your grace. We do so not to compel You to be merciful, but we do so because You have, through Christ, extended mercy to us. And so, Lord, tonight, let us be reminded. Let us be reminded of Your great love for us. And so, Lord, at this time, we join our hearts together and our minds together and our voices together, and we pray together the words of that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. And in so doing, we answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we close tonight, we would invite you to come to have ashes imposed on your forehead or to exit quietly in a spirit of prayer as we go from this place to bless the world. God bless you.